Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? The word disciple could be used to describe anybody who is a learner or a follower or anyone who picks somebody out and follows that person and lives by that person's standard. In New Testament scriptures, it is most often used to describe followers of Jesus. It is most often used to describe followers of Jesus. It's used over 200 times and only a very few times that it describes a follower of someone else. I think one time it talks about some disciples of the Pharisees, and one time it talks about the disciples of John the Baptist. But most of the time, the word disciple is used to describe a follower of Jesus Christ. And it means a learner, a person who's enrolled in the school of Jesus Christ and does what he learns. It's not just someone who learns, but it involves that I learn these things about what I should do, and this is what I do. And so my question is, are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Are you a person who continually learns about him and then puts into practice what he teaches? And we talked before about Jesus' high requirements and saying that he demands your all for you to be a disciple. You cannot be a disciple unless you're willing to give up everything. I want to talk today about the multiplication process that Jesus taught. And I think the one thing that we fail the most at, the multiplication of trying to get other people to be disciples. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. And I want you to look at verse 14. Mark chapter 3, verse 14. Mark 3, 14. And he, meaning Jesus, appointed 12 so that they would be with him and that he could send them out to preach. He appointed 12 so that they could do two things. What was the first one? Be with him. What was the second one? So he could send them out to preach. Now, we see this process in the New Testament. This is the way disciples are supposed to be made. When Jesus began his ministry, we see that John the Baptist pointed to Jesus and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And two of John the Baptist's disciples followed Jesus because John pointed them to Jesus. One of those two was Andrew. The first thing Andrew did was to go get Peter, his brother, and said, "We have found the Messiah." So John pointed Andrew to Jesus. Andrew went and got Peter and pointed him to Jesus. And we learn a little bit later in Acts chapter 2 that Peter preached a sermon, and how many people became Christians? 3,000 people. So the process is that each one win one, or maybe each one wins 3,000. I don't know. But that process is the discipling process that God intends to happen. Yeah. He appointed how many? Tell me again. 12. He had a lot of disciples. Sometimes it talks about 120 following him. Sometimes it talks about 3,000 and 4,000 and 5,000 following him. But he appointed 12, that these 12 was kind of like to be with him. He was going to train them. How long did it take him? 3 years to train them. And of the 12, there were three that had seemingly a closer relationship with him. Peter, James, and John, and even the 12. The 12 had a close relationship with him, and they spent time with him. Now, I want to talk about if we're going to disciple people, and I think we have failed at this job. We as a church and the Christian community as a whole, basically, have failed at really discipling people. Some of the bigger churches can get bigger numbers, but I'm not sure they're discipling people like Jesus did. One preacher I know of, a very big church, was very concerned about that. And he said, I'm concerned we have big numbers, but I'm concerned that we are an inch deep and a mile wide. That they hadn't went in it, and there was no depth involved. And Jesus spent how many years, Tim, again? 3 years training 12 people. I like to look at the ideal. Because I several years ago, I even planned an ideal day for me. If nothing went wrong, if everything went exactly like I wanted to go, this is the kind of day it would be. And I planned that out. Now, the truth is, I don't think I ever had one. Something always interfered. But at least I knew what I was shooting for. Does that make sense to anybody else? That this is what it would look like if things would go perfectly. So I know what I'm shooting for, I know what I'm after, and I know when I'm missing it. I just kind of wonder, as far as I know, as far as the Bible says, none of the 12 disciples did this, but I just kind of wonder, had they followed Jesus' example and each one of the 12 took 3 years to train 12, what would have happened? Now, even with Jesus, one of them fell away, right? One out of the 12 fell off. So even with Jesus, it was not ideal. But just think about an ideal situation. Suppose each one of the 12 had said, well, we're supposed to train 12. We're supposed to disciple people. Jesus, the way Jesus discipled people, he spent 3 years intensively with 12 people. Jesus took 3 years. Three more years, how many would we have had? 12 times 12. 144. Three more years, how many would we have had? And three more years, how many would we have had? But you see, you would have had depth people. Does that make sense? People with real training, people with understanding of what we're doing. Not just surface people, but trained people. The Olympics are about to start. What's the difference in saying, I'm going to try to be a good athlete and training to be a good athlete? What's the difference? Practice, right. There's a lot of difference. If I'm training, and I believe the church should be a training institution in which we train people. We can only teach them what we know, but we can teach them what we know, right? You know, occasionally I'll run across a teacher who just started teaching a particular class, and they say, all I got to do is stay one day ahead. Right? All I got to do is be one day ahead of my students. But after I have taught the class several times, I'm in pretty good shape, right? I can do it over. I can repeat this. And I believe the best training method ever devised is on-the-job training. Can you imagine what it would have been like to be with Jesus? He appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. So the first step was going to be with him. Let me oversimplify on-the-job training, okay? And let's pretend that I know the job. Whatever the job is, I know it. I think on-the-job training involves picking you out. You come, you watch me do it. Just watch me. That's all. Just watch me. Then the next step is I want you to help me do it. Right? I'm doing it, but you're helping me. The next step is you're doing it, and I'm helping you. Right? The next step is you're doing it, and I'm watching you. I like to throw in another step in that there's a period of time in which you do it, and I'm your technical support. If I run into a problem, if you run into a problem, you can call me. That kind of thing. And the next step is you can do it yourself. You don't need me anymore. And the next step is you can start the process over. Right? Because you can train somebody. How do you train them? First of all, they watch you. then they help you, then you help them, and then you watch them, and then you be support for them as they do it, and then you can turn them loose and they can train somebody else. Now that simple process, I believe, is the way Jesus intended for us to disciple people. And we'll talk more about it in a few minutes, but it basically involves two things: teaching or training them, and relationship. Teaching and training them, and relationships. Now, I like the teaching part. I am very weak on the relationship part. There are other people who are very strong on the relationship part and not as strong on the teaching part. But it involves both things, right? Jesus said he chose 12 so that they could be with him and that he could send them out to preach. And the way they learned how to preach was to watch Jesus do it. And I think, can't prove this scripturally, but I think he would occasionally send them out to preach. And when they came back, they'd have a report. How did you do? And again, this is not Bible. This is my opinion, okay? I think what happened, they would go out to preach, and sometimes they'd fall flat on their face. You know what happens if you try something and you really mess up? Then you come back to the teacher, and then you're wide open to learn, brother. Because before you went out, you thought you knew it all, but then when they sent you out there and it didn't work, you go back and said, I tried that, it didn't work. Tell me some more about how to do this. Or you could say, I went out, this worked. Things happened. And we see that one time in the Bible in which they said, man, even the demons obeyed us. So they would come back to report, and they would know, they would report that they did a good job. Things were working. And I think that's the way he trained them. The Bible doesn't really say that that's the way he went about it, but I think that was the process. Because I think he tested them as they went along during the 3 years. You go do this. So the on-the-job training process, that process was to continue. Look at Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Two of these verses you know by heart, but I'm going to start earlier. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Verse 16. The main thing I want you to see in verse 16 is who Jesus is going to be talking to. But the 11 disciples, why not 12? Judas is out of the picture. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. Stop right there just a minute. Who was he talking to? The disciples, right? What did he want them to do? Make disciples. So he talked to his disciples and said, I want you to go make disciples. If the disciples don't make disciples, who's going to make disciples? If we don't do it, how's it going to happen? It's not going to happen. There's nobody else to do it. There's nobody else interested in making disciples but those who are already disciples. And I think as a whole, we have failed in that process. In fact, not only have we failed in doing it, we, and it is we, not you, it's we, have failed. We don't even think about doing it. We don't even, it's not even the ideal for us. We haven't even set up the ideal and say, as a individual or as a group, what I want to do is to bring other people to be disciples of Jesus. We don't even think about that. We may even go backwards and think about, well, you know what? If we bring new people in our church, it's probably going to cause some problems. K. because new people won't be mature as the rest of us, and they won't know all about this Christian stuff, and they may say some things and do some things, and we may have some relationship problems and all that kind of stuff. We get new people in, so let's just keep our little group together. Oh, Lee, we would never think that. You try to get a Sunday school class to birth a new Sunday school class and see what they think that or not. Well, we don't want to mess up our class. We want to keep our group together. We don't want to get new people. We want to keep our group. But Jesus told the disciples, I want you to go and make disciples. And to make a disciple is to enroll him in the school of Jesus, to get him to learn about Jesus and to follow what he learns, to do what he learns. That's the process. Go, therefore, and make disciples where? All nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's the first step in the process. You enroll them in the school. The first thing they need to do is to be baptized. After they're baptized, what do I do then? Teach them to do what? Observe how much? All that Jesus taught the original disciples. What is a disciple? Someone who learns about Jesus and does what he learns. I want you to go make disciples. I want you to baptize them. And then I want you to teach them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Who's going to teach them to observe all that I commanded? Who's going to do that? The disciples. So the process is supposed to be an ongoing, continuing process. When a person becomes a disciple of Jesus, he gets into the training process, he learns all about this, and then he teaches somebody else. That's the way it's supposed to happen. Occasionally somebody will come up and say, Lee, I'm bored with all this stuff because I've heard all this stuff before. You've already said that. He's bored because it's not supposed to stop there. Right? It's supposed to, as I learn it, I'm supposed to teach somebody else what I know. And we fail. We have failed. Not up here saying you have failed. I am saying all of us have failed. Me included. We just stopped the process. We've stopped wanting to have disciples. We've stopped being interested in even getting disciples. We're not even thinking about people that we meet every day, either Christians or not Christians. They're either disciples of Jesus or not disciples of Jesus. And if they are disciples of Jesus, they're my Christian brother. If they're not disciples of Jesus, what should be my attitude toward them? I want to make them disciples. I want them to become disciples. And there's two things involved in that. One is relationship and one is teaching. Very few people ever become Christians as a result of just teaching. And because I am a teacher by nature, I wish they would. I wish we could just stand up in front of all this group of people and just teach them what the Bible says, and all of them would become Christians. You know how most of them become Christians? By developing relationships with other Christians. Now, if we do not teach them, we're not doing what Scripture says. In other words, if we just can get a group of people that will relate to us and we can have a good time together, we've failed. But if we don't develop relationships with people, we're probably not going to get the opportunity to teach them. What Jesus did was he appointed 12 that they might be with him. He chose 12. Those 12 spent 3 years with him. Then he wanted to send them out to preach. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Who wrote 2 Timothy? Paul. Who did Paul write 2 Timothy to? Timothy. Okay, this was his second letter. This was the last letter he wrote, we think. So this letter gets more personal and more intense. He's more concerned about making sure this discipleship process continues, because that was his life. Now, I don't know exactly how many people Paul trained personally. The ones that come to mind is Timothy and Titus, and maybe you could include Silas and Barnabas. Not sure that's true, but because they were with him at the beginning, so they may have been on the same level he was to start with. But we know of at least two people that he trained. Now, I want you to notice what he says in 2 Timothy 2:2, what he wants him to do. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses. In other words, Timothy had been in the presence when Paul taught other people. Is that what you get from that phrase? Paul was teaching. There were many witnesses. Paul was teaching. Timothy heard him teach to these many people. So he says, the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to do what? Teach others also. So now what's the process? Paul taught Timothy. Timothy was to teach faithful men who will be able to teach others. That's the process. That's what's supposed to happen. And I think you and I are guilty of just rejoicing in the fact that somebody taught us, but we kind of end the road there. We don't continue. In fact, we don't even think about continuing. We don't even think about, that's my responsibility. That's my job. I should be concerned about trying to get other people involved and become disciples of Jesus. Let's read it one more time. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, if you know Paul, what do you think those things were? If you know anything about Paul? Yeah. to just kind of put it in our language, it would be Bible, right? The things he taught was what we now have as Scripture. In fact, most of our New Testament Paul wrote, a large part of our New Testament Paul wrote, most of the letters he wrote. The things which hear from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men. In other words, just like Jesus picked out some men, Timothy, you need to pick out some men. And you train those people so that those people will be able to teach others. Now, again, I think as we think about being disciples of Jesus, and we're going to talk about it one or two more times, what that means and what that's involved in. But one of the first things it means is I need to be concerned about trying to help other people become disciples of Jesus. That's a part of the process. That's what Jesus commanded us to go and make disciples, to go and disciple the nation. You say, well, Lee, I can't do that. The Holy Spirit's got to do that. Well, Jesus commanded us to do it. We have a responsibility. It is true that the Holy Spirit convicts them of their sin and the Holy Spirit is involved in them becoming Christians. All that's true, but I trust that and I depend on that, but it doesn't take my responsibility away. He still commanded us to go disciple the nations, to make disciples. We played with a little bit the ideal situation if 12 would train 12 more and those 144 would train 12 each and all that kind of stuff. There's a theory that if you would use good teaching methods and good relationship building methods, that you could double any group in less than 2 years. So let's just think about one of our Bible school classes. Well, let's think about two of our Bible school classes, the Sunshine class and the Searchers class. If you put those two together, we have somewhere between 35 and 40 people. If it is really true, we use good teaching method to teach God's Word, and we use good programs to develop relationships, both are necessary. If we did that, and we could double in 2 years, then those 30 people in that class would be how many in 2 years? 60. If we could do it again, it would be how many in 4 years? If we could do it again, it would be how many in 8, in 6 years? Where am I at? 6 years. 6 years, I got lost. We'd have how many? 240. How about 8 years? 480. How about 10 years? 960. Now, again, I think that is ideal. I don't think that's going to work perfectly. Does that make sense? But I do think it would work somewhat. Does that make sense? And we may not double. We may not have 960 in 10 years. We may have 775. You know? But the thing of it is, what I'm trying to do today is to recreate in us, me included. And I want to keep saying that, because I'm not up here fussing at you for not doing it. I'm realizing that as the preacher of the congregation, I'm one of the main ones that haven't been doing it. That we need to think of this, we need to think in the process that we need to be making disciples of other people. We need to be bringing in new people. And new people are a pain. I mean, yeah, you know, that anytime you bring a new person into a group, you change the dynamics of the group. I don't care whether you're talking about little bitty kids or senior citizens. If you've got a group of 10 people and you bring in 2 new people, the dynamics of the group changes. You agree with that? It's not like it was before. And if you got 12 people and you bring in 12 more people, you really change the dynamics of the group. But what I'm trying to convince us today is that we need to think about that. We need to be involved in that process. We need to change our thought process, and instead of thinking about let's don't rock the boat, let's don't change anything, let's don't mess up what we got, let's enjoy what we got. We need to start thinking about how can we reach new people? How can we disciple more people? How we can bring more people into the fellowship? And we've talked about before that I believe numbers-wise, Peter was much more effective than Andrew was. But both of them were doing God's will. I shared with you last week that I saw a sign on the way to church sign. And if you put up the church sign a few times, you get to read the church signs everywhere you go. And so it said a dewdrop does God's will as much as a thunderstorm. So Andrew was as much in God's will as Peter was. Andrew won, as far as we know, 2 or 3 people. Peter won 3,000 at one pop. All of them were doing God's will. So we may not be able to double. But our problem is that we don't even think about reaching the new ones. We don't even think about that. That's what I need to be doing. You know? I want to increase the size of our Bible school. Well, what are we going to do? We don't have enough room in our room. Lynn and I talked about it. Let's try to double. We involved in search of Sunday school class. And so, let's try to double our class. And we talked, well, what are we going to do with it? Where are we going to put them? We're already full. I said, that's the end of that story, and we don't have anywhere to put them. Can't reach any new ones. You know? But the fact is, we have to think about that process all the time, that I need to be reaching new people. Some of us less effective than others, but all of us need to think about that I need to be reaching new, I need to be discipling other people. And he appointed 12 that they might be with him, that he might send them out to preach. Took 3 years to train 12 people. He spoke to the disciples and said, to the disciples, you need to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Who was going to make disciples? Disciples. That's the only people to make it. If the disciples are going to be made, disciples got to make them. Right? If you're going to have baby sheep, you got to have grown sheep to make them. Right? The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So the process is that we get newer people. You probably could reach people that I couldn't reach. Maybe I could reach people that you couldn't reach. I know one of the things that happens as you're a Christian, you've been a Christian a long time, especially if you live in the same area for a long time, you've either asked those people or you don't know any non-Christians. You don't have an association with non-Christians. And in one sense, that's kind of good, but in another sense, that's bad news because you just cut off the rope. There's no way to get new people unless you have some kind of association with new people. But you at least need to think about that. These people, I want disciples. That's what we need to be doing, is reaching new people, discipling new people. Have thine own way. You want him to have his way? You just want us to stay in our own way. Want him to have his way? I think his way is that we disciple people. Would you stand as we sing?